In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
His first miraculous sign is at a wedding, and thereby he blesses all weddings with his presence. It is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for men today to be alone. They need a helper. And so from the side of Adam, God created this helper. Then he brought this woman to the man. They are flesh of flesh and bone of bone. They are not two, but they are one. There is no greater relationship on earth. They are not partners. They are not equals. They are something far greater. They are flesh of flesh and bone of bone. They are one. Or as we usually say, they are husband and wife. So each have been given their God-given unique roles. The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Nothing is his, but all that belongs to the husband is his wife's. His finances, his body, his intellect, his emotions, it's all hers. He saves nothing for himself, but he freely gives all to her. He does nothing for himself, but he loves her. And that love is always sacrificial, as he is not concerned with his wants, but rather with her needs. It's a high task, husbands, to imitate Christ, to sacrifice your very life for her. It's a high honor as well to pattern your life and conduct after your bridegroom. It's an undeserved calling, and yet where the Lord calls, he also equips. Wives, you are to submit to your husbands in everything. This means you are to respect him and, yes, obey him. And you are to help him where he fails. It's no small thing to cover the faults of someone else, to fix his mistakes, and to do it all not while lording it over him, but out of a quiet and gentle spirit. Outward beauty fades, you know that full well. But this inner beauty is of great worth in God's sight and lasts throughout eternity. This is how the holy women of the past used to live, such as Sarah, and you would do well to imitate her, for you are her daughters by faith. So do not be afraid that your husband will be a selfish jerk and care only about himself, but live in faithful service to God, carrying out your vocation. For God has made you husband and wife, not two but one, flesh of flesh and bone of bone, even if you were married in a courthouse. He has made you male. He has made you female. He knows what he is doing when he assigned to each of you a role. So do not look down on your wife because she has not been given the same authority as you. Do not envy your husband that he has been given something else. But be content with your calling in life. God knows what he is doing when he made you male and female. So do not desire what has been given to the other. And don't conform your life to society either, which knows nothing of marriage anymore. Don't conform your life to society. Don't learn how to be a husband or a wife from TV shows or from movies or what you read in magazines. They are right with nothing. They don't understand this concept of flesh, bone of bone, of husband and wife. So they want only individual partners or equals, ready to leave at a moment's notice when things aren't going their way. Learn from God's word. Conform yourself to the word of God in all that you do. So you must study God's word, so you know what he says to you as a husband or a wife. So the first of his miraculous signs is at a wedding, because he still delights in weddings today. But there is far more to this miracle than simply Christ giving his approval to marriage. His first miraculous sign is different than all the others. He's not healing the blind, the deaf, the mute. He's not undoing the curse of sin or the effects of sin. No one is lame. No one is leprous. No one is sick. No one is dying. All his other miracles are undoing the effects of sin, but this one is different. This one, he's extending the party, prolonging the celebration, giving more joy, more gladness. It's different. Sure, he saves the host from embarrassment, but in the grand scheme of his miracles, that's really not much to write home about. Besides, if the master of the banquet is to be believed, the guests have already had too much to drink. So this miracle is different. This miracle teaches us that Christ alone gives joy, and that joy lasts for all eternity. It is the third day when Christ changed water into wine. Now the Holy Spirit never wastes his breath. The third day is the day of resurrection. So the joy that Christ gives, which lasts even into eternity, that joy is the joy of his victory, of his cross and his passion. You were baptized into that day. You live in that eternal Easter day. You celebrate Easter each and every day, for your Savior lives, and the victory is yours. So Christ comes to you to bring that eternal joy to you week after week, day after day. He has crushed your enemy. He has won for himself a beautiful bride without stain or wrinkle. He has made her holy and blameless in his sight. And now it is the third day, the day of resurrection. And he lives not to fight, but to celebrate. Not to conquer, but to give to his beloved church the fruits of his victory. So the wine cannot run out. For today is the third day, the eternal day, and his victory is eternal. So the celebration must continue on, even into eternity. But the guests are not worthy, you say. They've already had too much to drink, you say. And you are right. They are drunks and gluttons, tax collectors and prostitutes, unloving husbands and disrespectful wives. They are grumblers and complainers. They are greedy and hoarding and divisive and reckless and just plain jerks. And so have you been. And yet still your cup overflows. And still he gives to you the joys of his victory. Still the celebration continues. He doesn't give because you have earned it or deserved it. But he gives because he is the eternal bridegroom. And how can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They can't. It is a joyful thing when a husband takes a wife. So by grace, Christ invites you to the celebration to feed you the eternal pleasures that he has won. And he can do this because he is risen. Those stone jars represent the law, inflexible, unchanging. The law, you could not meet its demands. But Christ has filled the law up to the brim with his own holiness. He has kept each commandment perfectly. Not one was left empty. Not one could hold any more. Nothing you or any saint could add would increase it in any way. Then he died and was sealed in a grave by a stone, for the law demanded death. But remember, it's the third day. And on the third day, he is risen with his body. So you must rise from your grave with your body to continue this eternal celebration. The law is fulfilled for you. The old covenant is no more. The new has taken its place. The new covenant in Christ's own blood. The old covenant could only wash the outward body, wash off dirt or soot. But the new covenant washes the body and the soul, the outside and the inside, in a wondrous baptismal flood. Christ has changed this plain water into something new and something different. He speaks, and it is a blessed flood, a rich and full washing away of all sins. He speaks, and wine is changed into his body. It's the celebratory feast. You've abused his grace. Taken advantage of it and used it as a license to sin, to do whatever you thought was best for you, yet still your cup overflows. You've been lazy and have complained about your spouse. Still your cup overflows. You've been discontent with your role as husband or wife, discontent with your stuff, discontent with the life that God has given you. You have wanted something more, and even worse, you have thought it is your right to live and to strive to get something more. Still, he gives you more of his grace, more of his love, more of his forgiveness. You don't deserve any of this any more than those guests at Cana deserved more wine. But this is who he is, the gracious bridegroom who loves and freely gives. For how can you, his beloved guests, fast while he himself is with you? And next week, the celebration will continue. Regardless of what you have done, the celebration will continue. He ruined those jars, stained them with wine. For he ruins the old covenant and ushers in the new. Christianity does not stand side by side with Judaism. And it does not replace Judaism either. Rather, as those stone jars are now filled with new wine, so Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism. Christ is the fulfillment of the temple. Baptism is the fulfillment of circumcision. The Lord's Supper is the fulfillment of the Passover meal. And so here you gather, celebrating him, your Lord and your God, even as he gathers here with you to give you these eternal gifts. Your sins are forgiven. You are the guests of honor. And if you don't believe me, then just wait a few moments as he invites you forward to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Taste his love. Drink his forgiveness. Celebrate his victory. As Christ revealed his glory in wine, so now he reveals his glory to you in consecrated wine. So the first of his miraculous signs is at a wedding because Christ is your eternal bridegroom. And you are his eternal bride. The first of his miraculous signs extends the celebration, for Christ has come to bring you a joy that has no end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.